You may not know this story, but it really did happen, all of it. Just after sundown on October 30, 1938, aliens invaded America. The harbingers of an advanced Martian civilization come to enslave the land of the free. The first wave landed in an unsuspecting farm town called Grover's Mill, not far from Princeton University in New Jersey, and just a short trek from Manhattan. Professor Richard Pearson was standing watch at Princeton's observatory. He had scoped eruptions of blue flames on Mars's surface just an hour before, assumed it was a rare meteor shower, and rushed to the scene to investigate. But upon arrival, instead of the detritus of space rock, he found a large metal cylinder in the open field, still steaming from entry and broadcasting odd scraping noises from inside its shell. As the reporters, first responders, and onlookers examined the crash site, the cylinder began to open, and a terrifying monstrosity of alien violence unfolded. On-site reporter Carl Phillips broadcast this chilling report live across CBS's airwaves. "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I have ever witnessed. I can see, peering out of that black hole, two luminous disks. Are they eyes? It might be a face. But that face, it, ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. I can hardly force myself to keep looking at it. The eyes are black and gleam like a serpent. The mouth is V-shaped with saliva dripping from its rimless lips that seem to quiver and pulsate. What's that? There's a jet of flame springing from the alien, and it leaps right at the advancing men. It strikes them head on. Good Lord, they're turning into flame. Now the whole field's caught fire. The woods, the barns, the gas tanks of automobiles. It's spreading everywhere. It's coming this way." At this point, Phillips's voice abruptly cut out, followed by the eerie hiss of radio static. 5 long seconds later, the report resumed and announced Americans' worst fear. Aliens had landed on the eastern seaboard. The National Guard had been called in, and bells rang to warn people to evacuate Manhattan. The Secretary of the Interior urged all Americans to join the fight and stand for the preservation of human supremacy. Then came word of more alien landfalls, Chicago, then St. Louis. It was pandemonium in the streets. Urbanites fled in terror. People took refuge in churches. Pregnant women went into labor early. People committed suicide. Looting broke out in the streets. It being America, men got out their guns and made ready to make a final stand. One woman ran into a church prayer meeting in Indianapolis and screamed, "New York has been destroyed. I believe the end of the world has come. You might as well go home to die." Life, as we know it, was over. Now, as much as my conspiracy theory friends would love this story to be true, the moon landing was really in Iceland, the royal family are lizard people, the earth is flat, the entire story was a lie. I know, shocking. There was no alien invasion, but everything else really did happen. It wasn't a full-on lie. It was more like fiction gone awry. Here's the backstory. The late 1930s were a tumultuous time in America. Not only did many scientists speculate there was alien life on Mars, but closer to home, people were living with a fever pitch of anxiety. America was on the verge of war with Germany. The economy was still recovering from the Great Depression, and food scarcity was a growing threat. Just weeks before, those living in the Northeast had endured the Great New England Hurricane of 1938, the most devastating storm to ever strike New England, leaving over 700 dead and about 63,000 homeless. Add to the mix that it was after dark on the night before Halloween, and you've got an emotional tinderbox just waiting for a spark. Enter Orson Welles, the 23-year-old actor and director of the Mercury Theater on the Air, a new radio program on CBS. Radio was still a new art form in its golden era, ripe for creative exploration and exploitation. It was the first medium to blur the lines between fact and fiction, news and entertainment, and Welles was a prodigy. His Mercury Theater was only 17 weeks in and was already the darling child of critics.